through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let's pray. Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, may every one of my words be a word that you are glad to have spoken. And may your words fall on good soil in our hearts. Take root and grow up and bear the fruit of resurrection life. Amen. In the spring of 2012, our family went 5 weeks without a home. I don't mean for that to sound like a big deal. It wasn't. Our previous landlord was selling and wanted us out by the end of March, and we decided to wait because we wanted to rent from our friend Jason, who was renovating a house we were very excited to live in and giving us a rate we were very excited to pay. And so we went 5 weeks without a home. During that time, we stayed with friends and family who we know well and who love us well. We had comfort and care. We were well provided for, and it still wore on us. We still found ourselves frayed and weary at the end of that short, relatively sweet time of not having a home. Peter writes this letter that Garrett read from to people who are experiencing a much more severe and prolonged form of that, to people who are spiritually homeless. Peter calls them exiles, which means people who have a home but can't access that home, can't go home right now. They're outcasts, people who live in between. I wonder how many of us that describes. How many of us have never really felt at home, or maybe used to feel comfortably at home in our nations or political parties or our families of origin or our marriages or our workplaces or our churches, but don't any longer? How many of us aren't quite sure how we came to be exiles, but are sure deep in our souls that exiles is what we are? And does what Peter had to say to the spiritually homeless long ago apply to us here and now? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's a little odd to me that Peter begins his letter to these exiles not with encouragement or instructions for how to endure while spiritually homeless, but begins with blessing God. Or more specifically, begins with blessing the God who raised Jesus from the dead. Which means blessing the God of compassionate power. Those two together, compassion and power, are critical. Consider for a moment, try to remember the time in your life when you were in deepest trouble. Whatever form that trouble took, what you needed at that time was compassionate power. For someone in authority who had power, who was really able to help you, to also have compassion, to be committed to helping you, even if it cost them. Compassion alone wouldn't do it. Neither would power alone. Compassionate power was what you needed. In the face of death, compassionate power is what we all need. Now, if God raised Jesus from the dead, that's power. That's power that Putin and Xi and Hamas and the Taliban and every other agent of oppression you could come up with can't hold a candle to. Someone who holds death as no obstacle, has power without limit. If God can raise the dead, that means there's no enemy that you could face which he cannot overcome. There's no circumstance you could find yourself in which God could not navigate. There is no evil you could perpetrate which God cannot unmake. We gather this morning to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, which means we gather this morning to celebrate the unlimited power of God. Now, God's power is not limited, but God's power is directed. It's directed by compassion, by his commitment to share in our sufferings. We're not here celebrating the truth that God can theoretically raise the dead, although that's true. We're here celebrating that God did actually raise Jesus, his one-of-a-kind son, the radiance of his glory and the exact imprint of his nature from the dead. Which means in Jesus, God had the compassion to die himself, to share in the very worst of our sufferings. This is the God that Peter begins by blessing, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God powerful enough to save us from death and compassionate enough to die in our place. Jesus is a God worth blessing, even for those in exile, especially for the spiritually homeless. Jesus is a God worth blessing because by his compassionate power, Jesus gives us a home. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. According to the great mercy of Jesus, when you think of God's great mercy, think of Jesus stretched out from the cross, life draining from him, and using his last moments to pray for the people who executed them. Father, forgive them. Do not hold this sin against them. There is the mercy of Jesus on display, even if you had actually driven the nails into his wrists. Jesus' merciful prayer over you. Do not hold this sin against him, against her. That's the mercy that gives us a home. You see, this means that in Jesus, God does not direct his compassionate power towards you according to your worthiness. He directs his compassionate power toward you according to his mercy. God's compassion, his compassion toward the exiles, it's not merely for the refugee, for the woman who finds herself in exile because of evil beyond her control. God's compassion toward the exiles is also for the compulsive gambler who finds himself thrown from his home because of a debt he willingly accrued. God's compassion is according to his great mercy, which is good news for all of us, because all of us need mercy. Really, all of us. Those of us who spend every day striving to be as good as we can figure out how to be, and those of us who spend every day striving to be as bad as we can figure out how to get away with, and the rest of us who wobble back and forth between good and bad with every inhale and exhale. All of us need mercy. And the mercy of Jesus is great. You and me, we wander in exile. We amble through an endless Sahara of sin. And Jesus comes to offer us great mercy. And his mercy is not a cup of cool water that you can sip from at your times of deepest shame, but always fear the moment when you raise it and discover there is not one drop left to bless your cracked lips. That's not the mercy of Jesus. He comes to offer you not a cup of cool water, but an oasis. He plants a home for you in the midst of the sand, an oasis, a refuge that will never run dry. Jesus quenches us with mercy powerful enough to raise the dead and compassionate enough to die for the dead. Take a moment to consider, what do you need mercy for? What thought or word or deed do you need forgiveness for? What have you done or left undone? Whom have you been or failed to be? Whatever it is, however long your list runs or how repetitive it gets, the great mercy of Jesus is more than equal to the task. You don't need to hide your sin. You don't need to minimize it. You don't need to defend it. Jesus' mercy is great. It will not run dry. Drink from the bottomless depths of his mercy. And Peter says, be born again. This great mercy, it causes us to be born again to a living hope. What an image that is, to be born again. To be born again is not a do-over. It's not a second chance. Birth does not return you to embryo status to see if you can gestate better, given more opportunities. That's not what you're being offered here. Birth is it's a new beginning. It's an emergence into a new kind of life, one larger and more beautiful than you could previously have imagined. I mean, before you were born, we know you heard sounds. But they were only dim, confusing echoes. And then having been born, you began to recognize that those echoes were voices of power, which hopefully were speaking words of love to you. Before you were born, you saw nothing. You didn't even know that you had eyes to see. But having been born, you opened your eyes and began to adjust to the overwhelming light. To be sure, being born means you still have a long way to go. Birth is not an end. It is a beginning. But what a beginning it is. And Jesus blesses us with a second birth. With another new beginning, with another emergence into a different kind of life, one larger and more beautiful than we can imagine. And what's so different? What's so much larger and more beautiful? It's not that bad things stop happening. Peter promises us in the same paragraph that we will be grieved by trials of various kinds. It's not that we're free from evil or suddenly on the escalator of glory. No, what's different about this new and larger kind of life is that we finally have a true home. The first time you were born, it was into some sort of family. Some semblance of a home. Maybe better than most, maybe worse than most, but not perfect. However loving your family of origin, your place there over time was at least a little tentative, at least a little fragile, at least a little dependent on you continuing to earn it. Your parents' compassion and power was limited. There were things they could not do for you, there were lengths to which they were not willing to go. And if you were not born first into the family, I'm going to say this as an oldest child, the limits on your older siblings' compassion were a little more obvious. Your place with them was even more fragile and even more tentative. The first time, you were born into sort of a home. But not this time. This time you are born according to the great mercy of Jesus, into a true home, into a home where the Father already knows your every flaw, past, present, and future, and says, I want you here. Into a home where the older sibling, far from trying to get away, convince you to leave or to get you kicked out, has paid for every bit of your unworthiness with his own blood. You are born again into a home you can't lose, into a mercy you can't outrun, animated by a compassionate power you cannot fathom. This is what makes this new life larger and more beautiful. Peter knew this personally from experience. Years before he wrote this letter, as a young man, Peter wanted to be worthy. He wanted to not need great mercy, and he figured he could pull it off. He was so convinced of this that he bragged to Jesus in front of all the other disciples, I will never betray you. In fact, I'll give up my life for your sake. And he said that just a few hours before the moment at which he needed the greatest mercy, before the moment at which he denied even knowing who Jesus was in order to preserve his own life. And before that denial, before that need for mercy came to pass, Jesus, knowing it was coming, said this to Peter. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in me. In my Father's home, there are many rooms, and I am going to prepare a place for you there. I am going to prepare a place for you, Jesus said. And then Jesus went. According to his great mercy, Jesus went to the cross to pay for Peter's sins. According to his great compassion, Jesus went to the grave to share in Peter's death. According to his great power, Jesus walked out of the grave to grant Peter resurrection life. Jesus gave Peter a home where he was free to admit that he was far less worthy than he had ever dared fear, because he knew that in this place he was far more loved than he ever dared dream. That's the living hope into which we are born again. Jesus gave Peter a home he did not have to earn, because it had been earned for him. And Jesus, who made a place for Peter, makes a place for you too. Offers you a home you do not have to earn. This is what Peter wanted the spiritually homeless to know in his day. This is what I want you to know today. This is what Jesus wants everyone to know every day. And because Jesus is the one who rose from the dead, we know he possesses the compassion and the power to give you what he wants you to have. An end to your exile forever. A home with him. So friends, come home. Yes, the world is broken. Yes, the shadows deepen. But Christ the Lord is risen today. And so yes, the Father loves us. Yes, the Spirit moves among us. Yes, Jesus, your Messiah, holds forever you whom he loves. Yes, our God intends to dwell again with us. Come home. Come home to the God powerful enough to flood the desert of your unworthiness with the waters of his mercy. Come home to the God compassionate enough to endure death for the sake of seeing you born again to a living hope. Come home to Jesus. You will never find another home like him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for showing the greatness of your mercy, for showing your compassion and power in your Son, Jesus. Thank you for what he did to make a place for us with you. Lord, give us grace today to stop trying to make a place for ourselves, to stop trying to earn a home of our own, and rest in you instead, and find that with you, it is well with our souls. Amen.